Have a good season of prayer. I trust that we as a people understand the importance of it, whether it be here at church, publicly, or whether it be in our closet of prayer, privately, we would understand that prayer is essential. Psalm 1, if you have your Bible, you'll turn there. I've been thinking about something this past week I want to share with you as we find our way to the first psalm. I've been preaching some in the Psalms here recently, as God has been leading me to do so. We'll go to the very first psalm, Psalm 1. There is a lot of tension in our country today over a number of things, and I want to remind you that tension should never be over skin color, whether it be brown or black or white or red or yellow. That shouldn't cause tension. What we should understand, brethren, that all men are created equal. And we've been endowed by our Creator. And God, when He made man, He made this statement. He said, I have made man in my own image, and after my likeness have I made him. So you see, when God looks at a man, he looks at someone that's been made in his image. And I want you to understand that. Sometimes we look and we look at culture, and we have race baiters who are trying to separate us. I want you to understand that. Now, I do understand that ideologies separate. They do. Ideologies separate. But just because someone has a different culture or skin color, that should never separate. You understand that. You understand that. Pastor Brandon prayed it. It is God's will, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why when people come in and they say, we're going to Mexico, or we're going to Israel, or we're going to New Guinea, or we're going to Australia, or we're going to Spain. Listen, when they're going to preach the gospel to get people saved, the first thing in my heart is, well, what color is their skin? That's not on my heart. I just want to know, can God use us to partner with them to get them there to preach the gospel so more people can be saved? And so let's not get confused now, all right? Don't get confused as to who our enemy is. Our enemy is the unseen forces of the power of darkness, the devil, the devil. And you say, well, preacher, the devil, he works through men. I understand that. I understand that. But don't let these people, it's an agenda. It's an agenda. Wise up to the agenda. The agenda is to separate. The agenda is to divide. The agenda is to cause us to lose our focus. Our focus is to remain on Jesus Christ. What was His focus? He said, the Son of Man, Luke 19:10, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want that to be my purpose. I want that to be the purpose of this church. Let's seek and save that which was lost. Get them the gospel. Amen? There's liberals of every color. That's right. There's lost of every color. We just want to get them saved. God help us to get the gospel out there. Say, well, you conservative or liberal? I'm saved. That makes me conservative. Amen. That's right. Say, you for abortion or against abortion? I'm saved. That makes me against abortion. See, God said all that straight in my heart when He saved me. Say amen. Amen. See, God says some things straight in your heart when you get saved. I want you to understand that. There's a lot of people say they're saved, and they yoke up with crowds of people that do absolutely contrary to what the Word of God says. I have cause to question that. And you should too. Psalm 1. I think I gave everybody time to find it. I want you to stand to your feet, and we're going to read this psalm. It's six verses. How much you know about Psalm 1? We're going to have just a little study, do a little Bible study tonight. You like Bible study? You like to study the Bible? Can I tell you I love the Bible? I love it. I love the Bible. I love God's Word. I don't understand people who say they're saved and you talk with them and say, well, I hadn't read the Bible in 2 months. Something's not right in your life, my friend. Something's not right in your life. You've been defeated or something. If you have no desire for the Word of God, something's missing. Something's missing. In Psalm 1, I want you to follow along and let's read these 6 verses of Scripture. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's one of the greatest promises in all the Word of God. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What a psalm. What a psalm. I want us to talk a little bit about this psalm over the next couple few weeks. And so tonight I'm just going to give you some introductory things, but I want to ask you some questions. I want to get your mind turning. All right, is your mind fresh? Say, no, it's late. I'm tired. All right. Well, try to get it focused and honed in on this first psalm. All right? Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this precious psalm that we will look into that you not only have inspired by your songwriter, but God, you have preserved it unto this generation forever. And so we know that as we look at this psalm, we're looking at the very Word of God. And I pray that you would help us to receive it as that. As the Word of God. And help us to realize that it can be effective in our lives if we would allow it to. And I pray, God, that we would bring ourselves under the authority of your Word this evening. We humble ourselves, God. We need you. We need the instruction of your Word. Thy Word is truth. And God, we don't know what to do without you. We need you. And we pray, oh God, that you would do something in our hearts that would just serve as a reminder to us that thou art God and beside thee there is none other, and that you have not left us unto ourselves, that you are with us, you are active, you are at work, and you want to use us in this hour in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, what do you know about this first psalm? What do you know about it? You know anything about it? You've read it in the past? You know what the psalm's about? Do you know some of the characteristics of the psalm? What the psalmist is addressing? Somebody raise your hand and tell me something you know about this first psalm. Yes. Yeah, it's comparing the righteous and the wicked, right? The first 3 verses are pretty much addressed to the man who walks after God and the man who delights in his word. And the last 3 verses primarily talk about the ungodly. It says in verse number 4, the ungodly are not so. And you know, throughout the Bible, this is the way it is, right? You know, it's always about 2 men. I mean, Adam. There's the first Adam and the last Adam. Isn't that what Jesus is called? The last Adam, right? Yeah. There was Cain and Abel, right? I mean, 2 different individuals. There was Isaac and Ishmael, Esau and Jacob, David and Saul. And then, of course, time will culminate where there's the Christ and the Antichrist. See, 2 men, 2 ways, Jesus said, right? 2 ways, 2 destinations. There's only 2 destinations. There's heaven and hell. So well, now there's this interlude, preacher. There's this intermediate time. There's this purgatory. That's not in the Bible. Heaven and hell. Heaven and hell. 2 destinations. 2 ways. The broad way, right? The narrow way. Isn't that what Jesus said? Just 2 ways now. There's not 3 ways. Just 2 ways. And so here it is in this psalm. It breaks it down. Good point. All right, somebody else raise your hand. Somebody else. Yes, Brother Corey. Absolutely. There's a progression in this psalm. In verse 1 and in other verses too, as we'll see as we study it, but in verse 1 in particular, and we'll look at that as we study it, but I want you to notice it says there's the ungodly. In verse number 1, it talks about that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So there's the ungodly, then there's sinner, and then it goes to what? Scornful. And then there's a progression in what? He's walking. He said, don't even walk by. Why? Because look at the next thing, standing. You see? Started out walking. You know? And then all of a sudden sin will kind of get your attention, and you'll find yourself, as you get close to it and walking by, it might have you standing there, listening and participating. Then look at the last thing it said, sitting. You'll be sitting down with them, participating in their evil deeds. You have to be careful. The Bible warns in the book of Proverbs about getting around sinners and sin. You say, well, preacher, we got to get them saved. Well, the Bible didn't say don't befriend them and don't win them. It just said don't partner with them. Right? Don't be unequally yoked with them. Does the Scripture teach that? I know we've gotten away from preaching that, but that's what the Word of God says. So the progression, good thought. Something else, Psalm 1. Yes, Brother Greg. Amen. Blessed. As a matter of fact, that's a very good thought. Blessed. If you look that word up, you'll find that word comes from a son of Jacob. It comes from the word Asher. That's where the word blessed comes from, which means it's a plural word. In other words, the man of God that is blessed, it's not just a one-time blessing. Is there anybody in here that God has blessed that could say, yeah, God blessed me one time? Amen. No, the word blessed means he just blesses and blesses and blesses. Amen. I am blessed with multitudes of blessings. God just keeps on blessing me. Anybody in here like that? God just keeps on blessing you? Amen. I'm just so blessed. I'm so thankful. God just keeps on blessing me. You say, preacher, does God ever bless you when you don't deserve it? Every blessing I've ever received from God, I didn't deserve it. Amen. What a great thing. We're blessed continuously. It's plural. Right? Something else. Good thoughts. Something else about Psalm 1 that you know from your reading of it or you see as you're looking over it. Anything else? Yes, Sister Campbell. Amen. Amen. There's conditions. When you're seeking to live for the Lord, you're going to get in His Word and you're going to not only be directed by it, that's what verse 1 is talking about. You're directed by His Word. Because His Word says don't do some things. That's the negative aspect of it. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not. That's the negative. Okay? Nor. You see that? Those are negatives. But when you get to verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You see, that's the positives. And so when we're seeking to do God's will, there's negatives. There's things that God says, hey, you don't do that. And then there's positives. There's things that you will do. And one of them is getting in His Word, getting in the Word of God. So there's the, number one, there's the directing of the Word of God in verse 1. And then there's delight in the Word of God. I said it earlier. If you're saved and you don't delight in the Word of God, something's not right. There's a disconnect somewhere. And don't let the devil do that to you. That's what the devil does. The devil wants to keep you away from this book. Because this book will change your life. Can I tell you the Bible changes lives? When you get in this book right here, it will begin through the washing of water, Paul wrote in Ephesians, by the Word of God. It'll begin to clean you up. It'll begin to cause the way you think. You'll think differently. You'll see things the way God sees them. You'll view people the way Jesus views them. You'll exercise grace and mercy. That's what God's Word does. Do you delight in the law of the Lord? Amen. Good points. Something else? Anyone? Psalm 1, yes.
The word pictures in verse 3 and 4, the tree, the chaff.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's word pictures. And the tree, the chaff, the rivers. Actually, when you look at this, and I'm not going to go in detail, there's quite a few word pictures in Psalm 1. You can see a lot of back in the origin, in the beginning of time, and in the garden, where man was told not to do certain things, and man was told to do certain things, and there's rivers, and there's trees, and there's fruit. There's a lot of things that God says. There's the law. When I look at verse number 2, I can't help to think of Joshua, right? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so this word pictures and these truths that God is teaching us. Look at verse number 1. I believe verse number 1 speaks of Jesus. This is called a psalm of wisdom. What did Jesus say in John 14? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They're represented here in verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 says the way, because it's dealing with the way. Don't go in this way. Jesus said, I am the way. Don't go in this way. Why? Because there is a way that seemeth right unto man. You go in the way of Jesus, not the way of man. Look at verse number 2. The truth. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Is God's word the truth? You know it is. And then the way, the truth, the life. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. That's life. Right? There's many word pictures in this psalm. So that's a good point. Let's get a couple more, then I'm going to give you some truth out of it, and then we'll move on. Yes, Brother Cliff. Amen. Planted, which means we're to be set apart. In other words, well, another thing it means too is that the roots have got to grow, right? I mean, planted's one thing, but boy, when you get planted, the roots will begin to go for what? The water. Amen. The water. Why? Because that's what's going to help the growth. By the way, I want to show you something that is missed. For years, I would study this psalm and I missed it until, maybe five, I don't know, I lose track of time. Some time ago, I've seen there's actually three men in Psalm 1. If you're not careful, you'll miss it, all right? Certainly, there's the blessed man, right? The blessed man in verse number 1 is the man that is blessed. But now, it's conditional. I want you to understand this. It's the man that does certain things and doesn't do certain things. Everybody understands about conditional blessing, right? Yeah. This is conditional. You understand? Everybody with me? You're going to be blessed this way if you don't do some things in verse 1 and if you do some things in verse 2. That's the blessed man. So it is conditional. In other words, you just can't sit down in a chair and say, God bless me. Now, God has blessed us so much, far more than we deserve. But some of God's blessings and some of God's promises are conditional. You understand the difference between conditional and unconditional, right? Conditional means that, well, that promise is going to come about if we do some things. It's like 2 Chronicles 7:14 in the time in which we live. You know, we want God to heal our land. He said, well, I will if my people will do some things, right? See, that's a conditional promise. You know, we can't just say, well, God said he would heal our land. He sure did, if, right? Well, this is conditional. He said, you'll be blessed when you don't do what it says in verse 1 and when you do what it says in verse 2, right? That's the blessed man. And then look at the man that's not blessed in verse number 4. He said, the ungodly are not so. They're not blessed. Amen. They're not. They're not. Now, they need to be, and they can be. So how can you connect the man that is blessed to the man that's not blessed? Now, here's the third man in this psalm, and I missed it for years. Did you find him? Did you find him? Somebody raise your hand and tell me where he's at. He's the man that connects the blessed man and the ungodly man that's not so. He's the third man in verse 3. Look at it. He said, and he, there he is, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his time. Who's going to eat his fruit? Him? No. The tree doesn't eat its own fruit. The tree bears fruit for others to partake of. So the connection between the blessed man in verse 1 and 2 and the ungodly man in verses 4, 5, and 6 is that man that says, I'm being blessed, not just so I can walk around saying I'm blessed and I can just enjoy it, but so that I can bear fruit so that those that are not being blessed can partake of it and become the blessed. Amen. See, that's why we're left here. If God just wanted to save us so he could take us to heaven, he'd have done that when we got saved. But God left us here to bear fruit so that those that are not saved, the ungodly, could see the fruit that we bear and partake of that fruit, and they could become blessed so that they could be moved into the category of the ungodly to the blessed. Right? That's where you and I need to be. You say, I'm in verse number 1, preacher. I'm blessed. Well, praise God, that's great. I'm in verse number 1 and 2. I'm blessed and I delight in His Word. That's great too, but can I tell you it gets better? If you'll get in verse 1, 2, and 3, then God will use you like you've never been used in your life. God will be bearing fruit through the fruit of His Spirit through your life so that others can partake of that and they can move categories from the ungodly to the godly, from those that are not blessed to those that are blessed. So don't mistake why God left you here. I think sometimes folks think, well, God left me here so I could just ham it up and enjoy life. Well, I got to tell you, I'm enjoying life. If you can't be around me and tell that, you're not paying attention. I'm enjoying my life because I'm blessed. But you know what? I want other people to reap some of my blessing. I want other people to get a benefit from God's blessing in my life. And that's where verse 3 comes in. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his time, in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's good stuff. He said, boy, it'd be good if that was so. Oh, it is so because God said so. Amen. You do understand that. That's a reality right there. Every Christian could be enjoying that. Well, let me give you just a couple things here, and then we'll wrap it up for tonight. Anybody else got anything you'd like to share with us out of Psalm 1? So far, you've been sharing some things with us. That's good. Is your mind turning? The wheels in your mind turning? Right? Got your thinking cap on now? Yes, ma'am. Amen. He cannot have enough of the Word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Look at this. Here it is. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. You know, there's some folks, and don't get mad at me. I'm not trying to pile on you or guilt trip you. But please don't think that you're going to find yourself in this psalm if you get up and read a verse or a chapter in the morning and then you're done. You never think about God. You never think about His Word. See, that's religious duty. That's not delight. The word in verse number 2 is delight, not duty. It's not His duty is the law of the Lord. His delight. A chapter a day is a duty. Trust me. Amen. I got my chapter in today, right? I can check my box. You're not gonna be this man. All right? Now, I'm not minimizing the fact that you read a chapter in the Bible a day. But the delight is something that people meditate in day and night. I mean, did you know the Bible says that we ought to desire God's Word more than our necessary food? You ought to desire God's Word, Psalm 119 says, more than wealth. More than health. More than friends. Read Psalm 119. It says it. God's Word ought to be so special to us that we just can't help but get in it. Now, I want to admit something to you. You know, there's times I go through seasons. As a matter of fact, all of us do. Right? Now, listen, don't be living in wintertime. Yeah, visit wintertime, but don't be living in wintertime. You say, I love winter. Well, you know, old C.S. Lewis, he said, you know, that always winter, but never Christmas. Right? Right? Well, you don't want your life to be always winter. There's seasons in life. There are times when my hungering and my thirsting and my desire for the Word of God are greater than at other times. just the way it is. I wish that I was hungry for the Word of God and I was excited about the Word of God all day, every day, for all of my life. But I'd be a hypocrite to stand up here and tell you that that's what it is with me. All right? Now, I'm not saying that's okay. It's the problem's with me, not with God's Word. You understand what I'm saying? Because God's Word is made of the stuff. It's the Word of God that should keep me excited all day, every day, for all of my life. So it's not the product, it's the person. Everybody understand what I'm saying? We ought to be excited about God's Word all the time. But there's things that are pulling at us, and there's things that are hindering us, and there's voices in our ear. There's things that the devil's trying to use as hindrances in our life to keep us from this book. When you go to the Word, you got to have a clean heart. Or God will speak to you like God desires to speak to you. You can't run up to God's Word with dirty hands. The Bible says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Listen, I was raised old school. For one thing, we played outside. I don't see kids playing outside much anymore. I don't see it. But we played outside all the time. And we'd get the call for supper time. All right? We'd get the call. The names, right on down the list. The names of my siblings. It's time for supper. You say, well, preacher, did your mother have to call you five or six times? Maybe one time she called me twice, but she gave me something that reminded me, I'm not going to be calling you twice. You say, did it take you long to get over that? It sure did. I don't know that I ever got over it. Because when my mama gave it and my grandma gave it, you didn't get over it. When you heard their voice, I mean, something went through you, put the fear of God in you, that listen, it doesn't matter what you were doing. You could have been running for a touchdown and just dropped the ball and ran back toward home. Amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right? That's the way it used to be. That's the way it used to be. It's sad that it's not that way anymore. It's sad. My mother would have she would have got called for abuse. But it wasn't abuse. I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad for that. Had I gone running in and just flopped down at the table and said, here I am. That didn't work around my house. You had to wash up before you come to the table. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. You didn't just come in and sit down at the table. You had to wash up. Well, God said, you know, you come in and sit down at his table if you want to unwashed, but you're not going to get much out of it. You're just not. You need to ask God, and I need to ask God, when we get in this book right here, before we start to read and meditate in God's Word, we need to pray for cleansing and restoration of fellowship if it's been broken. And God, if there's any unclean way in me, forgive me. Cleanse me of sin. Fill me with your Spirit. God, I need something from your Word today. Right? Right, brethren? Please, let's not treat God's Word flippantly now. No. So, what a psalm it is. Let's look at what the man says, all right? I'll give you just a couple truths here, and then we'll pick up here. We're going to spend some time in the psalm. Good. By the way, thank you for sharing tonight, all right? I like to do this from time to time. Just ask you what's going on in your mind. You know, I like to see what's going on in your mind. Get your wheels spinning a little bit. It's good for you. It's good for you. Blessed. Verse 1. Blessed is the man. Right there, I'm interested. Right? I'm interested. I hear people all the time say, well, you know what? I just want to be blessed. Well, when you open up the Word of God and a chapter starts like that, your antennas ought to go up. Blessed is the man. Here's how you can be blessed. That's what it's saying. Here's how you can be blessed. You want to be blessed? Listen up. That's what he's saying. You want to be blessed? You want to live the blessed life? Then listen up. Blessed is the man. Didn't say you might be. Didn't say it could happen. It might happen. No, you're going to get a blessing when you do this right here. God keeps his promises. You need to be blessed. You want to live the blessed life? Let's see what he said. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What you saying, psalmist? He said, you be careful who you get your advice from. That's what counsel is. Be careful who you get your advice from. Say amen, folks. You be careful. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Ah, come on, let's do it. Nobody will ever know. Ah, come on. You know, they're just always trying to get you to go in the wrong direction. Just one time. Right? Oh, you don't know what you're missing, they say. The Psalms start out. Listen, the Psalms are songs of praise. And the Psalms start out, the very first one saying, don't believe these folks that say you cannot live for God and be blessed. Don't believe these folks that say that sin's fun and that the sinful lifestyle was the way to go. Listen, there's a great big world out there that'll tell you that, and I'm here to tell you it's a lie of the devil. The devil is going to ruin your life if you listen to the counsel of the ungodly. The counsel of the ungodly comes through many, many means. There's media, there's movies, there's television, there's video games, there's music. And it's all said, just live it up. Do your own thing. Be your own boss. Follow your dream. Do this, do that. Hey, listen to me. The Bible says that we're to do the will of God. The Bible says we're to seek the counsel of the godly. We're to seek the counsel of the wise. We're to do what God says. And here the psalmist is saying, you want to be blessed? There's some things that you cannot do. Folks don't like that. See, we're people of pride. And when somebody will stand and tell us you can't do that, sometimes we get bowed up, right? We bow up on the inside and we get defensive. Well, I don't know if you're going to tell me what I can and cannot do or not. You know, I don't know if you qualify to do that. I believe I'm just going to do what I want to do. Well, there's a lot of people who went to hell with that attitude. There's a lot of people who wasted their life with that attitude. There's a lot of people who never reached their full potential for God because they would not humble themselves and listen to what God was saying when He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You've got to be careful who you listen to. There's a lot of voices out there. I mean, listen, there are scores and scores of voices that are trying to get in your ear today. Listen to me now, folks. You know what I'm saying, so. There's a number of voices trying to get your attention, trying to tell you what to do and what path to take and how to act and how to live and where to go. And listen, the Bible says, you be careful. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm very careful who I get my counsel from as a Christian, number one, but as a pastor, I'm very careful. And I want to advise you to do the same. I'll listen to a man, but I will look at him too. I'll listen to a man, but I look at what he's got going on. And if what he's doing is not lining up with what he's saying, I'm very reluctant to take his counsel. Because if it's not working for him, what makes me think it's going to work for me? Amen? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We were told by Pastor Brandon, Brother Corey, that there's a progression that walketh not in the counsel. You see, that walking is a direction that's going alone, following alone. We're going to close this with an illustration here in just a moment. I want you to listen very carefully. There's some people that got yourselves in grave danger by not following this right here. Some people that maybe you've forgotten about. But God reminded us. He even gave us their names. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor, in verse number, look at it, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I looked up these words, ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Willful, persistent evil. That's what ungodly. People that just willfully and persistently just do wrong. And then it says sinners. Sinners are those that constantly miss the mark and could care less. In other words, you can warn them and tell them, hey, God said that's not right. I don't care. Well, you need to start caring. Amen? You don't want to be around folks like that. Those are not your friends. You want to get them saved. But that's not the people you partner with. He said, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. As I said, ungodly, I looked it up, willful, persistent, evil, sinner, miss the mark and don't care. And then it progresses, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Scornful. They make entertainment of ridicule of the sacred. In other words, it's an entertainment to them to mock the Christian life, to mock the things that are holy and sacred. That's what scorners do. You see the progression there? And here the Bible says, you stay away from that. You stay away from that. It'll rub off on you. Oh, it won't bother me, preacher. Well, there's a lot of folks in the Scripture who thought that. Let me give you just one of them, Lot. Lot said, it's not going to bother me. I'm going to pitch my tent, look over here at Sodom, and it's not going to affect me any. Did it affect him? Oh, I'd say it did. Because of time, I'm not going to go into it. We will pick it up next week, because I want you to understand, Lot lost everything. Are you listening to me? He lost it all. And it started out where he just pitched his tent. He didn't go there. He just pitched his tent toward Sodom. Sounds like verse number the first part of verse number one, he was in the counsel of the ungodly. And then before long, he found himself standing with them, and then he was sitting down at the gate with them. He was living among them and participating in their sin. And he vexed, Peter said, his righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Is that what the Word says, brethren? The Word of God is always right. You say, well, I can dabble around in it, and it won't impact me, preacher. Well, can I tell you, better men and women than you and I have, and it did impact them. So be careful. All right, please be careful. Please be careful. Let's close with this. There's so much. We hadn't got out of verse 1. This is just talking about direction. You got to be careful. Can I ask you something? What direction are you headed in? What direction are you headed in? You say, well, I'm headed in the right direction. I want to tell you, there's a man by the name of Peter. He was too. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 18, and we'll close with this illustration of Peter, all right? John 18. You know, I think everybody here knows what happened to Peter. It's sad. Now, I'm glad Peter got right with God and preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls got saved, amen? I mean, God used Peter. I'm so glad that God gives us another chance, aren't you? Now, notice I didn't say a second chance. Some of us are working on far more than the second chance. Amen. Say amen, folks. Yeah. I'm glad God gives us another chance. But now, listen, don't trifle with the things of God and think, well, I'll just presume upon the grace of God and everything's going to work out. Well, it might, but it might not. All right? You say, well, God's obligated to make me right. Well, Paul wrote over in Corinthians, God might take you home. God might condemn you with the sinners and just take you home. Is that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? Sure is. He said, some even sleep. So don't just presume that, well, God's just obligated to make it all right and forgive me and set me back on course. No, God may take you on home. You say, well, I don't know that I want to hear that, preacher. Well, I'm telling you what the book says. I'm trying to warn you here. Don't mess up now and just think, well, God's just going to keep forgiving me and keep forgiving me. The last time He forgives you might be when He takes you home and you stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. In John 18, I want you to notice this progression. By the way, in your own time, I want you to notice that Peter messed up because he wouldn't listen to Jesus. Have we got any people in here that have messed up because you wouldn't listen to Jesus? Huh? Come on, folks, right? Isn't that something? Did you know? And I want you to look at it now. Jesus tried to tell Peter, Peter, go, go, go. He wouldn't go. They came to arrest Jesus in the garden. And the Lord Jesus said, listen, He said, you come after me. He said, let them go. Let them go. He was repeatedly trying to tell them, go, go, go. He wouldn't go. And it cost him. Can I tell you, it cost you when you won't listen to the Lord now. It's cost me when I didn't listen to Him. It costs us when we don't listen to the Lord. He told him to go. Look, if you would, And chapter 18, we'll look at verse number 8. We'll start there. Jesus answered. They came, and he asked them, "Who seek ye?" in verse number 7. And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Now, we're talking about hanging around with our own people and walking in the counsel of the ungodly and standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. So here was Peter with Jesus. That's where he should have been. And here they came to arrest him in the garden in verse number 7. And Jesus said, "I have told you that I am he. If, therefore, you seek me," look at it, "let these go their way." Go, go, go. Peter wouldn't do. So you know what Peter did? Look, if you would, in verse number 15. Simon Peter walked in the counsel of the ungodly. He followed Jesus after he said, "Go, let them go, let them go." He followed. He's walking. But he's going the wrong way. Those people had Jesus as the ungodly. They're getting ready to bring about something that, listen, that really only God and Jesus know fully what happened on the cross. All right? We get just a little glimpse of it. He said, "Go, go." So here he is following along after God said, "No, let them go." Jesus said, "Let them go." What did Peter do? He followed along. He's walking right there in the counsel of the ungodly. Guess what's going to happen next? Look, if you would, in verse 16. But Peter stood at the door without. Here he is standing. Here he is standing. After he'd been told, "Go," here he is. He followed in verse number 15. He's standing at the door. Standing at the door. And then notice, if you would, I think it's down in, let me find it here. We'll look at verse number 17. "Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art thou not also one of this man's disciples? And he said, I am not." he's got the wrong crowd. Hey, can I tell you, when you get in the wrong crowd, you start doing the wrong things. He's lying, right? He said, "Oh, preacher, I can be with the wrong people and do the right things." You be careful about that now. You take the wrong advice, you end up with the wrong people. You end up with the wrong people, you end up doing the wrong things. Luke 22, and this will be the last scripture, and we'll have a word of prayer. So we found him following, and then we found him standing. And before long, in Luke 22, look at verse number 55 of Luke 22. I'll give you an opportunity to find it. It's important that we understand that God means everything he says. I think sometimes we think, well, you know, as long as I'm just kind of somewhere in the ballpark of what God says, everything's going to work out okay. That's not the way God expects us to obey his truth. God wants me to do everything he says the way he said it. Is that right? You ever work with somebody and you told them what to do and they go, and then you go and you check up behind them and you say, "Hey, this is not what I told you to do. Well, you know, I decided I'd do this and that and this and that." I didn't tell you to come and do what you decided to do. Right? See, that's the way a lot of people think about God. It really is, brethren, and I don't want you to think that, and God help me not to, but we need some help. We need the Spirit of God to help us. We'll find ourselves just doing what we think's right. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. It's not right. Be careful. God expects us to do what he says, and nothing less. Peter found himself in verse 55, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together," what do you think old Peter did? Now he's sitting. He followed. He was walking. He stood. He was standing. And now he's sitting. It ain't going to be long. He's cussing. He was lying at first. "I'm not. I don't know him." Now he's going to be cursing, swearing oaths. So be careful. Psalm 1, verse 1, is a warning. You can be blessed. But now there's some conditions based on that. All right? God's not going to bless my life if I'm about 50% in. You with me? You with me, folks? Let's not think we can do about 40%, 35%, 60% of what God says and everything's going to turn out all right, because we have our own plans, our own ideas. Now, Peter had that too. He said, I'm going in the right direction. He said he followed Jesus, but afar off. Right direction, wrong distance. So this is important. I hope the Psalm 1 will be a great help to us as we study it together. I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll have a word of prayer.